Yo, that's quite an intro. Y'all good? Man. So honored to be here, man. I'm honored to hear some amazing things happening, amazing things we just heard from the other brothers here. I'm glad to come up, be a part of it. What I want to speak on, not going to lie to you, I'm going to push at you a little bit. Uh-oh, don't start cheering yet now. I know all my color folks is like, it's lit! To all my white folks in the building, relax, I love you, we're family, it's all good. We've been reconciled, it's okay. As a matter of fact, I thank God for white people. Because I feel like this, I wouldn't know what good craft coffee was if I didn't have white people in my life. You understand what I'm saying? I remember high school, I had this crush on this grunge girl. She was totally into the Nirvana scene. She used to carry like a backpack with a flannel, and she had the hemp in the backpack. She used to make belts. You understand what I'm saying? She gave me, first time I ever heard this type of music, she gave me an Alanis Morissette CD. Changed my life. I was like, what is this, and is there more? Changed my life. I gave her a Wu-Tang album. Changed her life. It's called cross-culturalism. It was beautiful. Anyway, I love what you heard today so far, because what you heard were people being truly transformed by the gospel. What you didn't hear was colonialism. What you didn't hear was imperialism. That's not what we're here for. We heard people hearing the gospel in their own context that weren't asked to somehow subjugate themselves, to homogenize themselves into a culture that doesn't really match who they are. We heard people hear the gospel that affirmed their image bearerness and the image bearerness of the person that told them about them being image bearers. I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that's what we all desire. Am I lying? You heard complexities. And that's actually what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about some things that are very complex. It's complicated. But in that complication, I think there's beauty. Because you know what else is complicated? A star, quasar, friendships, marriages, childbirth, love, parenting, us. They're complicated, right? So I think it's a great thing. I have a friend, and I can't name his name because he might die. I have a friend that also lives in Iraq. I have a friend that's an imam. He works at a mosque. He is a Muslim teacher. And he has a friend who hung out with him for a good 5, 6, 7 years, had coffee every week. And slowly but surely, the Lord saved this imam. But nobody knew that, because if anybody knew he was saved, him and his family would be murdered on the spot. So he didn't quit his job at the imam. But you know what he started doing? He started inviting this dude on worship days. Hey, why don't you come and articulate the faith, right? And what we're gonna do is we're gonna set up some sort of a debate here, right? And I'm gonna try to undo what you're saying, but I just want you to be as clear as possible in this gospel. It's complicated, dog. This is complicated. If things don't fit so neatly in boxes sometimes. That's what I love about the age group college kids is in, because it's the death of your idealism. You understand what I'm saying? You realize things ain't as simple as your youth pastor used to tell you. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't that easy, right? Right? You had this idea, you took political science 100, now you ready to change the world, right? That's what college is. I don't know why the government ain't calling me. I'ma solve all the problems because you took one class, right? You understand what I'm saying? There's a death. There's a death of that idealism. You understand that the world is much more complex, and that the scriptures actually do have an answer for it. Now, to get into what I want to get into, there's some vocab we got to cover, some vocab that some of y'all, that we heard actually earlier, that kind of, it's difficult when we assume that we actually understand those terms. Terms like culture and race. I think oftentimes if you're a part of a dominant culture, it's hard to see it. It's like being in the Milky Way. You don't see the Milky Way. Does that make sense? When you're in it, you don't understand that you are it or that you have one, right? A culture is a collection of experiences where two humans get together and they're trying to learn how to exist together. You're building culture. Does that make sense? We shape our identities through that, right? Right. The myths that we tell ourselves. Now I'm saying myths in the terms of like sociologists would say myths, meaning whether they're true or not is not the point. It's what we tell ourselves that shape how we look at the world, right? There's a book called The Sacred Canopy. I suggest anybody reads it. And what they're trying to say is that, like, it's impossible to not exist in some sort of narrative or story that helps us understand the world. Like, you can't get out of it. Does that make sense? Like, we all somehow exist in some way that we made sense around. It came from something, right? It's like a tropical fish. Here's a good example. Like a tropical fish. If you ask a tropical fish, you know, lives in warm water. I mean, if you could ask a fish. Tropical fish lives in warm water. Like, hey, what do you think of the waters of the deep? They're probably going to say, what water? Because they exist in it. Does that make sense? Right? We exist in our narratives, right? And they shape ourselves. And a lot of times, if those narratives can be oppressive, it's really difficult to get the gospel through those lenses. Does that make sense? And that's what I want to talk to y'all about. So this has to do with our culture. Race. Race is a social construct. It's not in the DNA. I understand that. But just because it's not in the DNA don't mean it's not real. Especially if you've been on the wrong end of that. I don't need no kind of PhD to tell me. You understand what I'm saying? What I know already exists, right? So I want to talk about some of these things and how these things work. Now, in this complication, there was... Sister mentioned that I had released an album a couple weeks ago. It's called Crooked, right? Which I'm very proud of. Thank you for the four of y'all that heard it. Appreciate it. I'm thankful for each one of y'all. But one could argue that earlier this year, a rapper named Kendrick Lamar released his fourth major label studio release and probably solidified himself as the greatest rapper of his generation. You could quote me now, his generation. Not every generation, his generation, right? But what he brought to the scene was something that made him find a lot in common with a very unlikely person. The question is, who is that person and what do they have in common? I believe when Kendrick Lamar released this record, he found himself to finding a lot of things in common with President Donald Trump. What does Kendrick Lamar and Donald Trump have in common? Well, it's complicated. I want to talk to you about something that's called intersectionality. Now, intersectionality comes out of a body of work that's called critical race theory. It's this sister named Kimberly Crenshaw. She's at the UCLA School of Law. She was the first to sort of kind of coin this phrase. And the book definition of this is the study of how intersectional social identities, particularly with minority identities, relate to systems and structures of oppression and domination. Right? So how we in our identities overlap and how we relate to power. Does that make sense? Right? That's the book one, right? That's the book definition. Now, let me try to give you an example here. In case you haven't noticed, I'm black. But I'm also a father, right? I'm also a father of two daughters. Pray for me. I feel like I'm speaking a different language every time I go home. Please pray somebody send a translator. I don't know what's happening in my home. Right? One time I was at the store. I live in Long Beach. I was at the store. I was carrying my baby daughter. My wife is first generation Mexican, so I got a little Blackskin daughter, so she's gorgeous. Quote me. So I was carrying my little daughter, right? And this gentleman says, hey man, yeah man, she's beautiful. You better watch out. You better get a gun. I was like, yo, how about you raise your sons to respect women? I won't have to kill your boy. How about that? Why you gonna put it on me? Why you gonna put it on me though? Not my problem, that's your problem. It's your son's problem, not my problem. Anyway, so that means that I got a lot in common with a lot of fellas in here, right? Right? Some of y'all got baby girls and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, I have no idea what's happening in my home. One day, my big daughter's 12, one day she came out the room and she was just like, Daddy, how's my hair? And she was like frantically trying to put a bun together. And I was like, yo, it looks good. She was like, oh, but how does it look though? And I was like, you did a good job. She's like, never mind. It got mad. And I'm like, I'm tapping out, babe. I just was like, I'm gonna go watch basketball. I'm tapping out. Anyway, So I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm an artist, I'm a Californian, I'm a cousin, I'm the youngest, right? So there's all those things that kind of like take and I relate to each other and to the world and a lot of those things. And since I'm a man and a black man, I'm the son of a woman, duh, right? But I'm the son of a woman who got her rights to vote and to be considered a citizen in the 60s. But wait a minute, what happened 4 decades earlier than that was something that was called the suffrage movement, which was supposed to give my mother her rights. The only problem is, if you understand history, the suffrage movement wasn't about women's rights, it was about white women's rights. Does that make sense? That's why you fast forward 400 years, maybe not 400 years, a couple hundred years, right? To when we just now, at the beginning of this last election, had this women's march all over the country, where it was people all over the thing. But it was somewhat problematic because I think they ignored a lot of our overlap. They ignored the intersectional, because it was some women out there that were saying, okay, this is cool, this is a women's movement, but yo, where were y'all when refugee babies were washing up on the shore? You kind of didn't care about us. Yo, where were y'all when, just like you said, just like my brothers here in the game program, where were y'all? Why was you not worried about mothers not having water for their children? If you ignore our intersections, things can get very complicated. So I think it's a very important thing, especially as a believer, because at the top of intersectionality is something that the experts don't understand. It's called image bearer. And me and you understand that. Y'all with me? Woo-wee! Now, what did Donald Trump do and what did Kendrick Lamar do? Well, what Kendrick Lamar did was he brought to something to the public sphere that us in the hood, we kind of knew about already. It was this theory called, or this kind of street religion called Black Hebrew Israelites, right? Now, I know for some of y'all that's like, what are you talking about? But what a Black Hebrew Israelite is, it's this kind of this sort of street religion that kind of came out of this sort of hybrid of just some Muslim and some Rastafarian, and it has a whole lot to do with identity and identity politics. What the basic crux of it is that the true children of Israel, right, are black and brown indigenous people. That's the true children of Israel. And why we're getting the suffering we're suffering is because we walked away from the precepts of God. So they're looking at Deuteronomy and saying, yo, you're still cursed because you're not obeying God, right? So that's why this is what's going on in the black and brown communities. It's a great idea because they're trying to find and have their identity affirmed somewhere. It's that we had sense enough to understand that there is one God, right? And the Bible was clearly true. But whatever y'all saying is Christian, clearly is not my experience, just like our Native American brother said earlier. So they tried to find identity somewhere. The only problem is you gotta just, really, if you understand migration and international law, like it's problematic to kind of say that black, because, I mean, what is black? Like, the transatlantic slave trade meant that, like, we're kind of everywhere. My wife is first generation Mexican. Like I said, I went to go meet her grandmother in Mexico, out in Acapulco. Her grandfather's sister walked out the corner. I was like, that's my Aunt Norma. Your grandfather's black. I don't care what you think. That's a black man. I know a black man when I see it. You understand what I'm saying? So I was like, that's so the transatlantic slave trade. Plus, what do you call a Latino, right? They're the same as the name, because the border was just made up. Somebody drew a line right there. That's the same people. You understand what I'm saying? Right? And what do you call indigenous? That's everyone. We're all from somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So the concept is flawed, but it's a way to shape and understand. It's the myth we tell ourselves. Now, what did Donald Trump do? Donald Trump did something that was very interesting. He got on the stage and he was like, yo, either we're a nation or we're not a nation, right? Either we got borders or we not. Either we take care of our kids or we take care of their kids. You can't have both, right? And that resonated for a lot of us, because we was like, you know what, you're absolutely right. Either we this or we that, right? Who founded this nation? And this is why I believe the alt-right stuck to it, because they was like, yeah, you know what, you're absolutely correct. Who founded this nation and who we find this nation for, right? So their understanding is we found this for European Americans. That's why everybody else had to fight for their rights, right? So they found it for the European. The only problem with them is they don't even understand what white means either. Because they was only talking about this part of that small island. You understand? Even the Irish, for crying out loud, weren't welcome. That's on the northern part of the same island. What are you guys talking about? Right? So we don't understand your intersections. You start having these sort of these things that just don't work, right? But what intersectionality says is that, listen, our identities overlap. And the way that we relate to the world also overlaps. It means that in a lot of ways, the same structures that may oppress me, I'm also indicted in. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, I've been to the Crow Nation, where Superman is from, right? And I looked at this statue to General Custard, and I'm like, that's the biggest second place statue I've ever seen in my life. You lost, fam. You understand what I'm saying, right? But I don't know, it's just interesting. But so with the same heart and heartache and pain when we listen to our Native American brothers and sisters, right, the same heartache and pain, I understand that even though I am in allyship with these brothers, I also live in an area, I live in Long Beach. I live on Native soil. My whole house is built on it. It's complicated. I look at my wife. My wife has a PhD in educational policy. She's literally the smartest human I know, right? And we still walk in stores when we're trying to go buy stuff, and the person there helping them keeps addressing questions to me. And I'm like, fool, I'm on Twitter. I'm not paying no attention. Talk to her, right? She's the one answering you. Why do you keep asking? You see what I'm saying? Right? So I understand that they're the same structure that created that, you know, misogyny and patriarchy that my wife is kind of facing. I benefit from that. I'm just a dude. I get it. You understand? I get it. It's complicated. It's intersectional. I get it. Right? I think about, oh my Lord, you said 350 people don't have water, and I just want so bad to send as much as I can over there, but I also have to understand I am indicted in that problem. You know why? Because a lot of our interests created the destabilization of nations over there. Like, we did that to them. It's complicated. Now, how do we move from recognizing these things to moving from intersectional to ally, right? How do we do what Christ taught us to do? Is to dwell among them. Is to understand that there is no them. They are us. How do we get to that? Well, yeah, so that's number one. First of all, you gotta throw out the idea of us versus them, right? There's this study of these astronauts, right? There's only been like a handful of people that have ever left the planet. And what every time they leave the planet, it's interesting, they all say the same thing. They get off the planet and then they turn around and look back at it. It's like, you're in space. What are you looking back here for, right? But it's in us. They look back and they said they have the same experience where they look back down at the earth and they're like, yo, it's one thing. There's no lines. The map don't look like the maps on the walls. There's no lines. It's just this blue, and you could see the darkness, you know, as night is turning to day and the line changing and the lights in cities, and you're looking at like thunderstorms from the top, and it's just like, it's so awe-inspiring that they're just like, they call it the overview effect. When you're like, yo, we are truly in this together. It's one thing. It's one organism. Like, it's one planet. Right? So they all have the same thing, and then they come back and they're just like, what are we fighting for? It's so stupid. It's one planet. Right? So when you get to this, you remove that us versus them, then you understand that you are not the sole purveyor of all the answers. You ain't got all the answers. You also not the sole purveyor of suffering, right? Now that's why I'm gonna get on my black folks. Okay, a lot of times we try to protect suffering. Nobody going through what we going through. But when you do that, you undermine the same movement, because we're all oppressed. It's one planet. We all got things we got to deal with. Does that make sense? Right? I think we number two, I only got, look, I got no seconds, so let me finish this. Number two, we gotta resist the temptation of believing that if I stand on my island, like if I'm about water relief and you about sex trafficking, somehow or another, me building this thing for water relief is somehow taken away from this. You can't see it like that. You understand what I'm saying? We're in this together. Does that make sense? And last, we need to understand that unity is not uniformity. We're not called to sameness. We're called to oneness. There's a difference. Grew up in a Latino neighborhood. In a Latino neighborhood on the corner, y'all gotta go to Cali. On every corner, there's a fruta lady. It's a lady with a cart, and she just got fresh fruit. It's $5. I'm telling you, you're tripping. It's $5, right? And in that, you could get the thing of fruit. I mean, it's watermelon, sandia, it's pino, like it's everything, right? It's amazing, right? And when you get it, the first thing that lady gonna ask you is, con chile y limon? Right? All my Latinos get it. I'm like, why I want a lemon-flavored mango? I want a mango-flavored mango, right? My wife is like, run it! You understand what I'm saying? So she douses the whole thing. It's because she enjoys the taste of chile and limon. It could be wood chips up under that mug. As long as it's got chile and limon on it, we're good. That's sameness. But what it's supposed to do, what that's supposed to do, is we're supposed to be seasoning for each other. Where me and you bring out the goodness that's already there. Ooh, that's some different thinking. That me in proximity of you is making you a better you. And you in proximity of me is making me a better me. Does that make sense? That's oneness. We in this together. Let's have an overview effect and understand that unity, it ain't uniform. Thank you, guys.